Today we're going to meet the book lady. For the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. The book lady is Rebecca Joins-Shinsky, and she joins us. How did you start the book lady?
Sort of accidentally. I was working part-time as a bookseller at Barnes & Noble, and eventually became a community manager and an event planner there. And one summer, in the summer of 2008, I had just discovered that there were people writing about books online, people who weren't professionals, who were just talking about their opinions about books. And I was bored at work and thought, I could do that. So knowing absolutely nothing about blogging or blog technology or really anything except that I had opinions about books that I wanted to write about, I found WordPress, which is a free blogging software online, got an account, and just jumped in head first.
For those who are hearing you for the first time, mm-hmm. as I am, what is, quote, the book lady?
The book lady is it's a blog where I write about literary fiction, primarily memoirs, some nonfiction. And in the 4 years since I've started it, it's also become a reflection on my reading life and also on issues in the publishing industry.
Do you try to cover a wide range of genres?
I didn't start out that way. I've traditionally read primarily pretty heavy fiction, and I started off wanting just to have my own corner of the internet to talk about what I wanted to read and what I liked. And with the idea being like, well, then other people who read the same things and who like the same things will come here and we'll have a community together. But a really pleasant byproduct of all of the people that I've met through my work online has been that I've formed relationships with people who I trust enough that when they say you should read this thing that's different from something I wouldn't have picked up on my own, I often do try it. So now I do cover a wider range of genres, but because that's, I've become interested in a wider range of things, not necessarily because I'm trying to please more people.
You are well-educated. You have an advanced degree or two. And what types of books interested you originally that you wanted to blog about?
When I started off, I think the first book that I reviewed was called The Gargoyle by Andrew Davidson, which had just come out when I started blogging. It's an interesting story about a man who's addicted to cocaine. He's living a really pretty rough life, and he has this car accident where most of his body is burned horribly, and he's trying to recover from this. But while he's in the hospital, a woman comes into his room, presumably escaped from the psych ward, and tells him that they knew each other in a past life in the 1400s, and he thinks that she's crazy. But she knows things about him that it would be impossible for someone to know who didn't have some sort of knowledge about him. So that, I think that was the first book that I reviewed. I stuck pretty close to just the things that I liked. The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls was a memoir that I reviewed early on. But I was just sort of following my taste at the time and writing about what I liked and figuring, like, well, then other people who like the things that I like can come here. And if they don't like them, they can go somewhere else. The internet is big enough.
Did you think people would care what you thought?
I think you have to. Like, I always say I think there's a certain amount of narcissism involved in starting a blog, in the same way that writers who are putting books out have to believe that what they're saying is important enough to spend all that time to working on the book. I figured some people would care. I thought I couldn't be the only one who was reading these books and who was interested in them. I knew from discovering other blogs online that people were doing this and other people were finding them. I didn't know how much they would care, and I certainly did not anticipate that it would become a career. It was great as a hobby, and that was all I meant for it to be.
My previous question was rather cruel, you know, do you think anybody will like you? But in fact, what you think is like a book reviewer,
mm-hmm.
and people will rely on a book reviewer if that reviewer reflects their tastes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's been a really wonderful thing about the explosion of writing about books online, is that instead of just having the Washington Post's book review and the New York Times book review, if you don't identify with those reviewers or you don't feel enough of a connection with them to know what their tastes are and how well your own taste aligns with that, those reviews don't really mean much unless you know something about this person and what they're bringing to it. And blogging allows more of a personal connection between the writer and the reader, where now I get emails from people who read my blog and say, I've been reading you long enough to know how close our own taste tastes align. So if I like a book, they'll know that they'll like it too. And sometimes people have figured out that our tastes are opposite and they say, oh, you hated it. I'm probably going to love it.
Rebecca Shinsky is the book lady. We're hearing what she has to say about books in general and blogging in particular. Blogging is something relatively new.
It is, and I think it goes through iterations. Every couple of years, it becomes something different. The person that I know who's been blogging the longest is named Ron Hogan. He started a blog called Beatrice.com in 1995, and when he started it, the word blog didn't exist. It eventually became known as weblog and then was shortened to blog. I think it is a relatively new phenomenon. I knew when I was in high school 10 or 12 years ago, people had blogs that were more like journals where they were keeping diaries online. But blogging as a form of journalism or bloggers as members of the media, I think is a new thing in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, the blogs have offered people such as you and me an opportunity to give our opinions on the internet instead of having to be paid for it by the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Exactly. I think it's a very democratic platform. Anyone can start up a free WordPress account and start to put their opinions out there. And if you do some legwork, you can start to build up a readership for it. The beautiful thing is that anyone can have one. And then that's also the downside, is anybody can get online. And so there are all sorts of crazy things, but then there are all sorts of wonderful resources that wouldn't have existed if we all had to go through that vetting process for those very few positions at the New Yorker or the Washington Post.
How does someone find your blog?
www.thebookladiesblog.com, L-A-D-Y-S, in Book Lady. People discover it from Google. I get interesting Google searches. from Twitter and Facebook, from my being out there, and then now from links that are posted to me from other people.
You mentioned that it started as a hobby, but has it now become a professional, full-time thing?
It has. I never anticipated it, and I don't know that I could recreate it if I tried. Lots of serendipity involved, but now I work full-time for a website called Book Riot. BookRiot.com, where I write for them several times a week. I edit for them and run all of the social media. So that's my full-time job. In addition to working on The Book Lady, now The Book Lady really is a hobby again, where I'm wedging it in around work. But I've been making money from ads running on my site for a few years. And while the ads are not enough to pay the bills, it's been a really nice supplement. And that enabled me to step away from full-time work a couple of years ago and decide to focus on trying to make a career in books.
Looking at your blog, you have some partnerships.
Yes. I have a wonderful partnership with the Fountain Bookstore in Shaco Slip. Just a terrific, cozy, like everything that you want an independent bookstore to be. The people are so knowledgeable and well-read and just passionate about what they do. And there's no snobbery. I think sometimes you go into a bookstore and it's easy to feel like you don't want to tell them what you're really looking for. And I know that I encountered that as a bookseller, that people would say, like, I'm looking for a romance. and I don't think there should be that. We should read whatever makes us happy. And the folks at the Fountain are terrific. And that's a primary partnership that I have.
I want to take us off on a little tangent, but it's still Book Lady. It's still blogging. And we're talking about books. And you spent quite a long time working with books, talking about books, reading books. Where is the book industry going as far as paper books? We keep hearing that, well, it's all going to Amazon's Kindle and Amazon is dominating the industry and all of this. Where are we going, in your opinion?
That's an excellent question. I don't think that anyone really knows. And so the industry has been in a lot of turmoil for a few years. And if you had a dollar for every article that was written about the death of the book, you could be a very rich person. The last number that I saw said that only about 20% of books purchased are ebooks. So while it feels like these digital reading formats are taking over, most readers are still reading paper books. I think the industry is going to a place where digital is becoming really important. I have a Nook that I love that I use in addition to paper books. I find that there are things I want to read in paper and that I can only read other things on my Nook. Anything I need to engage with really deeply, I need to hold in my hands and be able to take notes on. So I think the paper book will stay with us. We might see an evolution away from hardcover publication followed by paperback publication to more paperback originals. One thing that ebooks have certainly done is driven down the price that people are willing to pay for a new book. So a digital book feels like less of a product, less of a thing to own than a paper book does. And there, if they're more than $9.99 for an ebook, people balk at the price and figure if they'll spend $9.99 on the digital, they may as well spend the $16.99 on the paperback. But $25.99 or $27.99 for a hardcover now sounds like a lot to pay for a book when people were pretty used to paying that a couple of years ago. Of course, the recession has something to do with that as well. But I think we're seeing a devaluing of the book as object. So the price war will be this thing that we continue to see.
I think people feel that the internet basically should be free, whether it is or not. It mm-hmm. should be mm-hmm. free. And of course, people are putting hard effort and work into this. They deserve to be compensated. Mm-hmm. Doing social media as an mm-hmm. example, which I'd like to get back to.
Sure.
But when you're talking about putting books on the internet, out on the air, so to speak, there's nothing physical that you can hold to, and so why should you have to pay for paper and printing, pay that extra price? So why are ebooks $9.99?
Sure. The best analogy that I've heard is like that a Lipitor pill now is like 30 cents per pill, but the first one cost $5 billion. You know, all the research mm-hmm. and all of the development. So the production of the technology that makes digital books possible is still expensive and is still costing publishers. But you're right that readers feel like it's a less tangible thing, and why should it cost as much? I think that's really difficult, and in particular, it's a challenge for authors who are trying to make their livings writing and publishing books, and they're really wondering like where their next meal is coming from or where their next mortgage payment is coming from, and that's a difficult thing to balance, the value of the work that someone puts into a book with the value that a reader finds in a digital copy. And how are we going to keep paying these people who produce the art that we enjoy if we've decided that it shouldn't be worth as much?
I love you. You mentioned the authors, and mm-hmm. certainly they deserve to be paid for their craft. Well, in years past, there was such a thing as a vanity press.
Mm-hmm.
You could pay to get self-published.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Now, self-publishing is relatively easy.
It is. It's still relatively expensive, I think, if you want to print paper books. And those paper books for places like Author House are still mm-hmm. doing vanity publishing. There are several of them that you can find online that to have your paper books self-published becomes very expensive. And then the paperback, those are usually published in paperback, but the paperbacks are priced at like $30 a piece and are often print on demand. So it's expensive for the author, and then it becomes expensive for the reader. The flip side of that is that many self-published writers are just going to digital publishing, and they're spending the lower cost to publish their books as ebooks and to put them out on Amazon and sometimes on Barnes & Noble. There's a program called Smashwords online that is a self-publishing platform. So it's sort of the same thing as anybody being able to have a blog. Anybody can have a book now. The market is flooded with self-published books. Some of them are rising to the top. Some people who got passed over by big publishing houses have become huge successes in self-publishing and then have gotten picked up by the houses, who sort of smacked themselves on the forehead and wondered why they missed out the first time around. But it's also a lot to read through as a reader. It's great for writers to be able to get their stories out there, but then they have the challenge of being their own publicists.
You mentioned getting published. Certainly the legendary thing now is J.K. Rowling,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't get a publisher for her children's book.
Right, and Catherine Stockett, who wrote The Help, I think
yes.
had something like 39 agents rejected her before she got an agent for this book that, you know, now is paying for someone's retirement.
Let's go into another little thing. You have spent some time working for a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Where are bookstores going?
They're having a hard time. You know, Barnes & Noble is really talking about itself as a technology company now. They've hired a few executives who have come from a technology background, and I think they're starting to put their money on the Nook. When you walk into a Barnes & Noble store, the first thing that you see is this giant Nook desk at the front of the store. When I worked there, it was still just an octagon-shaped table full of new releases, and now you've got to go around the Nook desk to get to the new releases. Bookstores, I think, are cutting back. They're getting tighter. They're running leaner. They're carrying fewer books in store because inventory is expensive. And as more small bookstores have closed, and you know, Amazon is cutting prices and using books as a loss leader, the other bookstores are paying the price for that. So they can't afford to bring as much new inventory in that they're not sure they can sell. I think it's going to be a fight. Independent books, there's a lot of independent bookstores closing. The ones that are still open are having to carve a niche because they can't compete with Amazon on price, so they have to compete somewhere else.
You're the book lady. You review books. Is this a help to people who, when there's so much output, mm-hmm. both printed and online, and yet you're reviewing some things that appeal to you and perhaps recommending them to people by implication, mm-hmm. that this is something you ought to read?
Yeah, I hope it's a help to people.
What's the feedback? What do people tell you?
The feedback is normally pretty fun. I do get crazy emails occasionally from people who disagree with me, but I think that is as much fun as getting things from people who love it. But I do think it's great when people have read me long enough to feel like they have a sense of who I am and what I like. Then a review that says I really loved this book, they know what that means, and if they know that it aligns with their taste, they can go and get the same book. And I try to be more conversational and less staid about how I talk about books. Maybe a little bit more irreverent than the traditional media outlets. So if you don't relate to someone who's talking about books in a really academic way, if you are looking for a voice that's more like a friend that you're having coffee with, I think it is really helpful. And I get most of my book recommendations from other blogs that I read.
There are book clubs, people mm-hmm. getting together
yeah.
either at the library or in each other's homes mm-hmm. to talk about books. In effect, you're doing the same thing.
Yes. The internet, for me, is like a giant book club every day.
The internet is a giant book club for Rebecca Joyn-Shinsky, the book lady who joins us. But can we just go off to a little bit to the side, but I still want you to be the book lady.
Mm-hmm.
You're very much into social media. That's your mm-hmm. full-time job.
Yes.
Most people listening are wondering, what is this social media? How does it relate to how my life is today?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many things you can do on social media, connect with people on mm-hmm. social media, similarly with books and with many other hobbies mm-hmm. and interests.
Sure. And I think it's an important question, is how can social media be productive? Because we've all...
Or how to use it, Rebecca.
Sure. I use it as a way to find people who have similar interests to mine. So Facebook, for me, has become the place where I talk to people from my past, you know, people from high school or people that I don't see as often. But Twitter has a huge publishing community and a huge community of readers, thousands and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands that I'm not aware of, where people who don't know someone in their daily lives that reads the same sort of stuff they read can go on and, with a little bit of poking around and, you know, some awkwardness, it's like being the new person at a cocktail party at first, can ease into conversations with other people who do read the same sorts of things. Or if you're into, you know, TV or music or whatever your thing is that's your hobby that you're interested in, you can find people who are online talking about that. I love Twitter for that. I think it's very conversational. There's a learning curve, so at first it's really awkward for folks, but when people get the hang of it, it becomes a great way to connect and feel like there's a sense of community if you're not getting that in your, you know, face-to-face life.
We have been talking a lot about the book lady. And what do you want people to understand about? What haven't we talked about that you would think is important?
About the book lady?
Yes.
I think irreverence is an important thing about the book lady, that the voice of my the book lady is sort of a character. And
are you a character?
I'm not. Well, I mean, I'm animated. But the book lady is not entirely me. There's something of a persona online. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to understand, too, when you go online and you go into social media, is that people are editing themselves. You know, I know that no one cares what I had for lunch today, so I don't need to put it out on Twitter. I'm editing and thinking about why I'm saying what I'm saying and what that will do. And the interactions are still genuine, but there's some strategy to it. So the book lady is irreverent in the way that I talk about books, a little bit bawdy. There's, you know, I love literature. I don't think we need to be super serious about it all the time. And so there's a certain voice. Occasionally I get emails from people who have found my blog but don't appreciate that I might curse. And that's fine. You don't have to appreciate it, but I don't intend to change. You know, there are plenty of other people talking about books online that those people can go and read.
You mentioned this before, mm-hmm. but how do people find your blog?
I'm at www.thebookladiesblog.com.
We are talking to Rebecca Joynshinsky. She is the book lady for the Virginia Voice. I'm Lou Dean.